Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for a compilation episode from the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Now, Julie, hold this tape in place here for me.
Wait, the hair piece or the girdle?
No, the face.
Oh,
the face.
I don't think you need to do that.
Julie, it's a war out there. Youth is like the nuclear arsenal. Now, if I don't keep up, the Russians will win. Except it's not the Russians, it's Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, I really don't think we're at that level, JP.
Not with that attitude, we're not. No, pass me those veneers there.
You mean this cutout yogurt tub?
Yeah, the whiter the better. Just a little epoxy in there. I'll just trickle in and voila, an affordable smile.
It says cherry cheesecake right across your mouth.
Now, perfect. We'll get the chubby demographic.
We're on the radio.
That's racist, Julie. Why shouldn't us husky folks be allowed to enjoy the radio with you skinny?
No. I just mean that they can't see our teeth.
Now, with that puny smile, come on, Julie. Give us a big toothy one. Shoulders back. Suck it in. We're almost on.
We've been on for 50 seconds.
Oh, my God. I'm ruined. I'll never work in this town again.
You never worked in this town in the first place.
Oh, you're right. Pass me some of those growth hormones.
JP, no, that is way too many. Stop taking those, JP.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Oh, thank you. Now, on the other microphone, when she married me, she had no idea what she was getting into, Julie Van Dusen. It's great to be back here in beautiful Lake Arrowhead, California, up at the Tudor House Theater, 5,000 feet in the air above the San Bernardino Valley, a nice thin air to help the drinks go a little further, and, well, a good buffer to protect the lowlanders from all the crazy folks up here. No, I kid. Everyone is crazy everywhere, really. But no one, absolutely no one, is crazier than your family, right? You keep your friends close, your enemies closer, and you keep your family in another state. Just get together once a year and duke it out. If turkey is the fuel of family warfare, then pent-up aggression be the ammunition. Even your little old mom is down at the other end of the table lobbing guilt missiles at you. You can stay silent and let it destroy you inside, or you can speak up and let it destroy you inside. Just remember, you didn't choose your family, and they didn't choose you. Unless you were adopted, well, then it's entirely their fault.
Sister to brother, father to son, mother to daughter, everyone, from cousin to cousin, uncle to aunt, best friend or nephew, you all is fam.
This is what it is, right? It's the tension. You know, because you're so close, there's no normal propriety. It just comes directly out. You're not close enough to a stranger for any real friction. They just kind of breeze right past. You know, there's a little buffer, right? With your family, you're close enough to grind. Oh, wait, that... don't do that. It leads to extra toes. What I mean is that the reason for the conflict is love. You have to care about someone enough to give them trouble for their stupid ideas. You care about the outcome because you love them. Like, when you sarcastically say to your sister, why don't you just put some fisherman's ward on it? What you're really saying is, look, I don't want your belief in alternative medicine to cause you harm. Or when you say, pass the potatoes, please, Adolf, what you're really saying is, Dad, your ideals are outdated and they serve to limit you. Or when you say, Mom, this pie tastes like feet, what you're really saying is, it tastes like feet because she makes horrible pie.
Sister to brother, father to son, mother to daughter, everyone, from cousin to cousin, uncle to aunt, best friend and nephew, you all is fam.
You can try, but you can't really separate. You know, you're always going to be your sister's brother, or your mother's daughter, or your cousin's cousin. All those years together, your formative years, well, your personality's built on them. The hours fighting with your sister in the back of the car, the Sunday dinners, your dad grounding you, your cousin showing you how to blow up G.I. Joes, your dad grounding you again. The formative years. You know, I don't think anything will ever be as fun again as those years with your family. There was everyone else, and then there was you, all together, making fun of everyone else, like a big pack of deranged monkeys.
Sister to brother, father to son, mother to daughter, everyone, from cousin to cousin, uncle to aunt, best friend or nephew, you all is fam.
Sometimes you find yourself far away from home, maybe even disowned. You're out there all alone. You have to find yourself a new family, a ragtag group of misfits drawn together by a mutual loneliness and need. A family of friends, right? You help each other out. You keep each other company. You do anything for them, just like your real family, through thick and through thin. They need help with the rent? Well, you're right there. They get a divorce? You talk them through it. They need a sock race partner at the picnic? Well, let's hop. They need help with the rent? Okay, one more time. They need a lift to the airport? Your car is right there waiting. They need help with the rent? Look, Rick, your Bon Jovi cover band is never going to make it big.
Sister to brother, father to son, mother to daughter, everyone from cousin to cousin, uncle to aunt, best friend to nephew, you all is fam.
These are, after all, the people who raised you. They bore you.
They bore me too, but they're your family, you have to put up with.
No, they're where you came from. You are the product of your mother and father's DNA commingled in a fit of teenage passion. Picture it. Don't picture it, but picture it. Out of all the infinite space, all the particles and strands riding across the chaos, across the immeasurable distance, by an act of random attraction, they collide and combine to create you out of parts of your parents and their parents' parents and their parents' parents' parents. You are literally nothing without them, and, well, you're inextricably connected to them, all of them, your great-great, your sister, your cousin, your nephew, literally connected to them at the core of your physical being by the nature of the universe itself. Wow. Well, we're going to visit with family this week. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to sing some songs. Stick around. We're going to get close.
Sister to brother, father to son, mother to daughter, everyone from cousin to cousin, uncle to aunt, best friend to nephew, you all is fam.
The Harvard Crimson has been delivering the scoop to the Ivy League elite since 1873. Here, bringing it to the community college crowd at a fifth grade reading level, J.P. Houston sings the news.
Privacy concerns have been raised about Mattel's new Barbie doll. It's about to hit the shelves, and, well, they're saying that Barbie has a microphone built in that's wirelessly connected to Mattel's internet servers. I wrote a commercial jingle for them, just in case they wanted to use it.
Look, here she comes, it's the girl of tomorrow, of beauty and grace and of upstanding morals, coming included with handbag and bracelets and all-knowing ears to hear all your secrets. Barbie, listening in, it's Barbie. Data mining, it's Barbie. You're fun overall, pretty evil marketing doll. Hey, there she goes, it's a real plastic bimbo, cashing it in and cashing your info. Wireless link up for easy removal, NSA seal of approval. Barbie, listening in, you're Barbie. Data mining, it's Barbie. You're fun overall, pretty evil marketing doll. But tell me your secrets, I promise I'm keeping a log while you're sleeping of all that you're peeping. It's Barbie, listening in, it's Barbie. Data mining, it's Barbie. Your fun overall, pretty evil marketing doll.
Tinfoil hat not included. We're excited to have our musical guest back with us on the program, some great swampy rock and roll out of California. Ladies and gentlemen, the Black-Tongued Bells.
Ow! gonna hear my sorrows? Who's gonna hear my cry? Who's gonna hear my troubles? I troubles to the day I die. Who's gonna heal my heartache? Who's gonna be my wife? Who's gonna give me children? I said, who's gonna give me a child? Went to the doctor, I said, help me if you can. I seen the doctor pull some magic from his bag. He said, soon all the women, they come knocking at your door. I said, well, if that be true, doctor, I'll be coming back no more. Give me a little guitar now. Little bit more, buddy. Doctor, I said, help me if you can. I seen the doctor pull some magic from his bag. He said, all the women, they'll come knocking at your door. I said, if that be true, doctor, I'll be coming back for more.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Want to lose weight?
Look, popular pie plant.
And this after shocking news that a pattern sweater has stepped forward with allegations against Mr. Cosby. Let's go now to our man on the street, Tom Thompson. Tom!
I'm here outside eccentric billionaire Norman Cranston's home. After a dementia diagnosis, it was announced Cranston will begin to give away his fortune. Thousands have descended on the estate as the magnate begins hearing pitches from charities and entrepreneurs alike.
Well, tell me, young man, are you my brother or my son?
I'm your assistant, sir.
What exactly do you assist me with?
Your business, sir.
Oh, right, right, right. I'm a what now?
An oil tycoon, sir.
Tycoon. Is that like one of them whirly tornado things?
We have a lot of people to see, sir. Please.
Well, then, send in them clowns!
Mr. Jackson, could you come in, please?
Yes, sir. It is a pleasure to meet you. Oh, and you're twice as handsome in person, sir.
A kiss the ring. Now, cut to the chase.
Okay. Close your eyes.
All right.
All the way.
Okay.
Now the other one.
No.
Picture it.
Yes?
New York City. Mm-hmm. The hustle and bustle of the streets. The tourists, the lights. But wait, there's something missing. It's the cars. Why? The enormously successful mass transit device that has rid the city of congestion. You've heard of the monorail. Now open your eyes to the wonder of the duo-rail. Unlike the clumsy monorails of the past, my new technology takes the trains underground.
Wait. So it's got two tracks.
Uh-huh.
And it is under the ground.
Yes, sir. I'm calling it the subway.
Well, that sounds familiar.
All great ideas seem that way, sir.
They do?
Yes, sir.
Well, this one must be a dangerland, because I swear I've heard it before.
Brand new, I assure you, sir.
Well, consider me sold. Cut him a check.
Thank you, sir.
All right, don't grovel.
Oh, I'm sorry,
kiss
sir.
Kiss the ring. And there's the door. Whoa, who are you?
Beatty, sir, your assistant.
Oh, right. All right, what's next on the old, top of the block of the
hill? Let's see, we have a Bill Williams, sir.
Well, come on in, Billy boy. Come on, let's get the show on the road.
Every day in America...
Oh, I like his gusto.
People are suffering in the city of Scranton between 1st and Main Street at 136 Troy Avenue on my couch.
Oh, that sounds tragic.
Unemployment, lack of education, debt, and a general laziness have blocked access to the basic necessities of life.
Oh, no.
Such as food, insurance, high-speed internet, skates, Xbox, and a Chewbacca mask.
Wait, Chewbacca mask?
This poor people need your help to get back on track and build a roller coaster in their backyard. Won't you find it in your heart to find it in your heart to help the people of Bill Williams find happiness and an Iron Man costume?
Oh, it is just too tragic. Oh. Did you hear him? He's got no skates. He is just simply a man who is wasting away on the ding-dong couch.
A blank check, sir.
Oh, thanks.
You know me too well. All right, let's get this funny train back on the left for the tracks. Come on, send him in.
I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing left to give away.
There's what? Oh, now come on, just one more.
I'm sorry, sir.
Come on. Milk one more little drop out.
Fine, sir.
Hoo-wee! All right, who we got?
There's one more. It's a blues group with some kind of a song. Let's bring them out. The Black Tongue Bells.
She stole my heart and disappeared. She robbed my soul.
Oh, she's a thief.
Yeah, she stripped me bare. She sucked my blood.
Oh, she's a vampire.
Yeah, like a vampire. She dumped my love.
Oh, it's in the garbage can.
Yeah, in a dump somewhere. Hello, misery. She done thrown a spell on me. Hello, misery. You make the night so long.
Give me a break now,
oh,
baby.
Need a Kit Kat.
No. She dragged me down to the river of tears.
Oh, that's a lot of water.
That old black cloud.
It was coming over here.
Yeah, it was hovering near. She gave me that look.
Oh, that was a dirty, dirty look.
Yeah, and it struck me blind.
I can't see.
My eyes can't see no more, but they sure can cry.
He's a big old crybaby.
Yes, I am. Hello, misery. She done thrown a spell on me. Hello, misery. You make the night so long.
Yeah, give me a break, baby.
Don't leave her.
Yeah, show them how she made me cry, Raymond. Oh, yeah, now show them how she really made me cry. Ah. She dug her nails.
Oh, I know that hurt.
In the thick of my skin.
Ooh, that hurt.
My face went pale.
Oh, he changed colors like me.
Yeah, and then the light went dim.
Lights out.
She scribbled my name.
Oh, she wanted to remember him.
All from a little red book.
They always get on that red book. You know that. Yeah.
She sealed up the page.
And what happened?
Yeah, yeah, and then she whispered, good luck.
Oh,
yeah,
good luck. Good luck.
Hello, misery. She done thrown a spell on me. Hello, misery. You make the night so long. She done thrown a spell on me. Hello, misery. You make the night so long. Oh, now I'm a low-down man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I am. Oh, I'm all torn up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she hurt me real bad. Feel sad. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what, Lewis?
What's that?
Her sister never done me like that.
I want to see her sister.
Yeah, I'm a low-down man. Yeah, that's what I am.
The Houston male is prone to fits of big ideas. Not so much on the follow-through, though. I come from a long line of tinkerers, dreamers, and schemers. In family folklore, my great-grandfather invented the propane stove and just never bothered to patent it. And my father claims the very first electric race car set wired up around his childhood bedroom out of tinfoil and tape. No radio, shaver, or toaster was safe from my older brother's dismantling. My contribution to the family legacy? The TV mirror. Whenever my older brother would drum up a gadget, he'd make me swear to secrecy on a stack of Bibles. And in a fit of paranoia, he'd be convinced that someone was going to scoop his invention and get rich first. As if product spies were lurking in the schoolyard, waiting for me to slip up and spill the beans on the bean spiller. It was always some kind of infomercial-worthy gizmo like that. And in the process, everything all over the house would get torn apart. In the driveway, too, there was always another chopped-up car getting banged back together, usually some kind of Starsky and Hutch number, the kind he could lean against with Free Ride blaring out the window and primp his curly mullet. As I approached the double digits, well, I started to feel that publisher-perish pressure that an untenured professor gets. My Play-Doh dog was all right, but it was hardly a real invention. I needed something good, and I needed it fast. I had to earn my place in the hallowed halls of Houston cockamamie inventions. The prototypes around the house were never really polished. They were usually stuck together with tape and string. Now, the standards of childhood safety were a little looser back then. I mean, you could chuck a kid down a hill on a skateboard with no helmet and no one would bat an eye. Or at my house, you could leave unshielded wires attached to dismantled computer fans on the kitchen table. I reached up and got zapped backwards into the dining room, smoke coming out of my ears. And well, I got in trouble, not my dad for leaving it out there. So after the shock wore off, I hunkered down. You can do it. Come on. The clock's ticking, JP. Think. You got to think, kid. Think. Hat with pockets. No. Hats for your pockets. No. What about... it's dark. Okay. You can't see. You need a little light. You're outside, though. You put a light on a stick. You can flash light around the place. A flashlight. All right, brain. Brainstorm. Storm brain. 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 A device that stimulates inspiration in the brain. No, I guess you'd need one to invent it in the first place. Just clear your head. A blank slate, that's what you need. Just clear your head. You know, go outside, get some fresh air, chuck yourself down the hill on a skateboard with no helmet. Me and my sister Nikki, we had a death trap invention of our own. You take two skinny skateboards, one banana yellow, one popsicle red. You sit on them facing each other. You lock legs together. You hold hands. And you rocket to your doom down a 90-degree angle hill. We'd hug the turn at the intersection at the bottom of Wheeler Avenue, skim the rims of moving cars, and then we'd sail on the momentum all the way down Waverly and try and beat our record for distance. And according to my sister, I nearly killed the both of us on the last run. You know, because I was singing Little Red Corvette, and I distracted her. Now, I think if there's ever a time or a place to sing Little Red Corvette, well, it's barreling down a hill on eight tiny wheels. If anything, it should have sharpened our skills, right? But I peeled myself off the curb and shook my head and went for the house. Maybe the blunt force trauma had stirred something loose, you know, walking up the street, and looking for inspiration anywhere. Hey, street lights. Oh, maybe they turn on as you walk past. That's not bad. Look down at my feet. Oh, forget street lights. Shoe headlights. Oh, my God, it's perfect. Oh, hey, Kareem. The neighbor kid's playing on his front lawn. Oh, shoot, wait. What was that idea again? It was a shoe something. I remember there were shoes. You want to play ball hockey? Sure, Kareem. No better way to free up the mind than with a brisk outdoor activity in the middle of the road at dusk. Find yourself a group of Canadian boys on a street smashing a tennis ball around with sticks, and you begin to hear six different play-by-plays, all completely unaware of the others, crisscrossing up and down between the nets. Moses makes a break for it. Alexander's against the glass. Each one in their own little world, and there's six different imaginary MVP trophies at the end when Mom calls for dinner. Dinner! Dinner, that's it. Some food will give me the energy I need to... Wait, what was I doing again? Oh, right, inventing. Okay, some spaghetti. Nothing like a lump of saucy dough in your gut to stimulate the intellect. I'll just shovel some of Tuesday Spaghetti Night into my face, and inspiration will surely strike. My mother had honed feeding nine children down to a fine scheduled science. Every night of the week had a different repeating meal, preferably one she could make mess hall style in a big pot. Well, Tuesdays came really easy to her because she was short and Italian, and the big pot was kept down low. There was no time to divide out the plates. It was family style, otherwise known as pig trough death battle. You'd load up your plate and eat as fast as possible to beat the other kids back to the last meatball. And God forbid, two forks stuck one at the same time. All that mongrel Italian and Irish blood boiling up. They'd have to pry us apart with a yardstick. The yardstick. My mother inherited it from Grandma Ida, who used it for spankings, but, well, Mom didn't have the heart to follow through with the spank, so she just wheeled it and threatened to. Its power wore off pretty quick. The stick was almost as tall as she was, and, well, it developed into comic relief. And the only way she succeeded in getting us to stop was by making us laugh. Me and my sister Melissa retreated to our dining table corners with a half a meatball each, out of breath and covered in sauce. Automatic meatball dispenser. No. Every man for himself. This isn't communist Russia. A kid's day is long and hard. You know? For every death race, you have to climb all the way back up the hill. For every slap shot, there's a tennis ball-shaped bruise. And then stuffed up on spaghetti, well, it was hard to muster up the strength to invent. All right, I'll just lie on the couch for a bit, watch some TV, rest up the old thinky thing, and zone out on some television. Then I'll get to the invention. Maybe. Lying on my side, clicking on the big mechanical channel changer, it was attached by a brown wire to the set, and it picked up 13 channels. There was a little fine tuner dial right there at your thumb. Kudos to the inventor. The thumb dial makes being lazy so convenient. Now, if only I had those kind of smarts. If I came up with happy days. On my side, watching the show, my arms and legs getting a little heavy, and then, it's time to turn over. My right side got bored. But the show, I want to see the show, right? I rolled over despite myself. And staring at the back of the couch, listening to the laugh track, I wished I could see it. They say necessity is the mother of invention. I propose an adjustment to the old expression. I say laziness is the real mother of invention. I sprang to my feet and I raced to my sister's bedroom. I snagged the beauty mirror from the back of the door and I lay it across the back of the couch. Voila, my greatest achievement. The TV mirror. No longer would a person have to miss valuable laughs on their favorite shows. Well, they could, as a free person of the non-communist world, roll over anytime they saw fit and continue to enjoy the program backwards. My father walked into the room. What the heck is that? I prepared for the medal ceremony. Well, Dad, prepare to be proud. Prepare to be confident that the family name will survive the generations. Prepare to be comfortable while you enjoy TV backwards on the couch. I rolled over. You see, I'm still watching. I switched sides, and I'm still watching. He says, you could just flip ends and watch on the other side without the mirror, right? No, Dad, I hadn't thought of that.
Waiting on inspiration to strike, all at once turning on like a light, making sparks, playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, here to take the family on vacation, Tony Sam.
Okay, car's all packed. All right, everybody, this family meeting will come to order. Can I have everyone's attention? Kimber, Kip, Keith, Afelba, Gladys, Prudence, stop running around like little junky bees on speed and listen to me for 5 seconds or nobody's going anywhere. All right. Anybody who plans to go anywhere near Disney World, Disneyland, or any of its subsidiary parks better be quiet for 5 seconds. And I don't mean 5 literal seconds. Stop it. Stop it. I don't mean 5 literal seconds, Smarty Pants. Stop counting. Stop counting. Knock it off. All right, guess what? Nobody's going. That's it, everybody. We're unpacking the expedition. We're playing balderdash at the kitchen table all summer, and I mean it. No crying. No crying. Go unpack the Ford Expedition. Julia, will you tell your kids to go unpack the... Oh, okay, I see. Now everybody's quiet. Finally. Good. Now, for some unknown reason, your mom and I, JK, we know the reason. It's because we love you all so much. We're about to drive approximately 1,600 miles so the 8 of us can appreciate all the hard work that Disney staff does each day to make sure that we all have fun for as many days as it takes me to have a mental breakdown. I mean, okay, oh, I mean, until it's physically impossible for us to have any more fun. Okay, now, while having fun is important, I want us to... Keith, get your finger out of Kip's ear. Get it out of his ear! Stop it! 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 Stop! No, don't stop taking your finger out of his ear. Stop putting it in! Don't test me. Don't test me. Look, I want us to all try to use this trip to bond as a family. Your mom and I went through all the trouble of making you... What? Okay, I'm being told that one of us went through more trouble than others in making all of you. But now you guys can go through the trouble of trying to get along for the next 2 weeks. Ah. Okay, now, before we ship out, there's a few ground rules I've printed out, and I've outlined several important guidelines to make sure this drive goes smoothly. Kip, will you pass these out for Daddy? What? How do you have chocolate all over your hands? Where did this chocolate come from? Oh. All right, Kimber, you're ambassador again. Hand these out, please. All right. Rule number one. Afelba, I think she knows what a diplomat is at this point. Pay attention. Well, I'll tell her later. Now, why are you crying? Oh, my God, I think I'm having a stroke. Okay. Sorry. Time out. We're changing rule number one. Rule number one is now let Dad start listing his rules. Please change rule number one on your sheet at your leisure. Thank you so much. Okay. Rule number two. No yelling, hitting, touching, screaming, pouting, whining, crying, arguing, fighting while inside the expedition. The car is a designated center of peace and love and happiness. And that's all that's allowed. Singing will be tolerated incrementally, but the same song can't be repeated more than twice in any given hour. I'm looking at you, Kip. All right, Keith, save your questions to the end, and no, humming is not singing. Rule number three, we always stay together. Your mom and I don't need to have a heart attack wondering where you are or to speculate that you've been kidnapped and chopped up. Yeah, that's terrifying, I know. Maybe it's a worst-case scenario, I don't know, but it's something we don't want. That's for sure. All right.
Who cut it?
Was it you, Kimber? Oh, it wasn't you. And don't blame it on Kip, she's three. Bring her. Oh, it is Kip. Julia, she had an accident. Will you help Kip change her pants? All right. Well, this is good because it leads me right into rule number four. We're in an enclosed space, and you will hold it. If one slips out, you will immediately roll down the window and alert the group. As driver, I'm allowed without warning to unapologetically pass said gas. It's my car. My rules. Sorry, our car. It's our car. It's always been our car. Okay? It's our car. Rule five. You've all been rationed an allowance to spend as you will. But guess what? Once you blow through it, that's it. Bye-bye. No, begging won't be tolerated. Settle down. You're all breaking rule number one. I apologize. That's rule number two now. The original, you switched the rules up. You understand. Look, if I don't say this now, you're all going to be bleeding me and your mother dry later, and we're all going to be coming home wearing barrels on the back of a rusty pickup truck. While that may sound fun to at least three of you, I can't afford that many tetanus shots. Okay? Not on Daddy's wage. I beg you, please don't make us pay any more than we already have for choosing to make six wonderful little miracles. If we make it through this trip in one piece, it'll be a seventh. FYI, your mom is not pregnant again. It's a figure of speech. You get what I mean. Okay, that ship sailed. Daddy's been fixed. Rule number six. Your mom's not our roadie photographer. She's always taking the family photos to prove to others that she does indeed exist. On these trips, we will be rotating around this duty. At first glance, from most of our family trip photos, it would seem as though she was abducted. Look, she's not Sia. She's not avoiding the spotlight, okay? She's not wearing crazy wigs. Finally, rule number 7. We're all going to have fun. We're all going to have fun. And even if we're not having fun, we're having fun. Okay? I didn't get an okay out of you. Good. Any questions? Not everybody at once! Fine, to answer your questions. No, 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 yes. Now, are we ready to have a good time?
I said, are we ready to have a good time?
Good. Now, nobody panic, but I locked the keys in the car. Who has the smallest arms?
The great Tony Sam, how about that? How about one more song from the Black-Tongued Bells?
I rolled into Memphis late last night. I met me a woman so sweet. She looked like a flower after the rain, a fragrant and beautiful thing. She sat in the corner all by herself. Her finger was bearing no ring. I got up from my chair and I walked across the room. She shied when I asked her name. Lily, Miss Lily, how do you do? I say you're looking so fine. Would you oblige me in a song and a dance? Should I be so lucky tonight? Her silky white skin was enticing. She smelled so desirably clean. When I caught a glimpse down the front of her dress, why, my legs, they went all shaky and weak. Lily, Miss Lily, how do you? Song and a dance. Should I be so lucky tonight? Now let me see if I can get some lucky. She offered a seat at her table. I called out to freshen her drink. I was wearing my best, so perfectly pressed. A three-piece with button-down sleeves. She gave me a smile so pleasing. She fussed with the fall of her hair. Oh, the lamp of so undeniably fair. Lily, Miss Lily, how do you do? I say you're looking so fine. Would you oblige me in a song and a dance? Should I be so lucky to
our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook and for joining us here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company and presented by KVCR.
Now,
information
Winder,
about the program is available
Winder,
at America.
Winder.
Yes, Martha, what is it?
Why are my lips blue?
Have you tried breathing?
Hang on. Oh, they're still blue.
No, perhaps it's the eyeshadow.
Why would eyeshadow make my lips look blue?
Because you put it on your lips.
When?
Right before you attacked young Jonathan.
Your nephew?
My grandnephew. You applied it on your lips and said, for smooching power, and then you wrestled him into the closet.
Well, they have to start sometime.
He's 14.
His voice is dropped.
It's not going to hold up in court, Martha.
I'm unconvictable. Right. Unconvictable.
Well, I guess the third time might be the charm.
Well, I'll just do another public service announcement. Sexual harassment is wrong. Blah, 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 blah. I've got it memorized.
Hollywood justice.
Wendell, I have earned the right to get away with whatever I want.
Let's just agree to disagree and let me get some sleep.
Not until you tell me why my eyebrows are red.
I think you can figure it out.
Lipstick?
Oh, well done, Columbo. Now, good night.
Wait, was that before or after I lost my dress?
Lost is hardly the word for tore off in a deranged burlesque.
Somebody had to liven the place up.
Can't we just have one family reunion that does not end with you dropping your clothing?
Sure, we'll start with it next time.
I hardly think there'll be a next time.
Oh, what a shame.
One shouldn't pride themselves on being disowned.
Ain't nobody ever owned me, brother.
Speaking of brothers, you'll need to call Michael for an apology.
What did he do this time?
No, Martha, you. You held him down, and you gave him a mashed potato pompadour.
Hilarious.
And bacon sideburns.
Perfect.
The dog mauled him.
Most action that cue ball has seen in decades.
He looks distinguished like me.
I can't distinguish either of you from an egg. More about this bruise on my bottom.
Ah, the grand finale. You, blue lips, red eyebrows, topless, bottomless, can-canning through the room, singing Yankee Doodle Dandy and slapping cake from people's hands.
So far, so
and
good.
Then you dove out the side window into the bushes.
That explains the leaves in my shoes.
I'm not sure how you managed to keep your shoes on. Everything else comes flying off, and you always manage to keep your shoes on.
It's an art.
No, you definitely belong in a museum.
Venus de Milo.
Venus de... Oh, no.
That's a bit of a stretch, Wendell.
Well, not as much of a stretch as that facelift of yours, so we're even.
I look perfect.
Your nose is in mortal danger of being slingshotted from your face.
Well, you are being extra prickly tonight, aren't you?
I'm being proportionately prickly.
Proportional to what?
To the level of embarrassment.
Why do you care what they think? You don't even like them. They don't like you.
They are my family, Martha.
Well, they treat you like garbage.
We don't choose our family.
How long are you going to try and cram yourself into their little cookie-cutter view of how they think you should be?
We need some kind of family, Martha.
And we have them.
Not after they stormed out this evening.
No,
we don't.
No, not those squares. No, our real family. How many times has that brother of yours told you to quit music and get yourself a real job?
Every chance he got.
And what about our dear old friend Lance?
He would never do something like that.
Exactly.
He's a class act.
Exactly. So who would you rather? That bully for a brother or a sweet little lance for a sister?
I suppose that's true.
Well, how about this one, Wendell? That battle axe of a sister-in-law or Princess Puff Puff?
I don't think dogs count.
You didn't stop your brother from marrying one.
All right, then I'll take Princess Puff Puff.
And Gregory and Elton and Charles.
And Smarty Lejeune and Marianne and Barbara and Wilson and...
And me.
Yes, of course, dear, and you. Well, you were the first one I chose.
That's right. We're all just one big, happy, misfit family. We just need a name.
How about the Love Family?
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Now that that's sorted, now you can get your rest.
Oh, finally.
Oh, you wouldn't want it any other way.
Because?
Because I make things interesting.
Yes, you do.
And then you tell me how I make them
interesting. Yes, I do.
And then at the end of the night, you sing me my song.
Oh, of course, dear. That is how it ends every time.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.